back to Up Close and Effing Personal. Today I've got a very special guest. I've got Sean here.
Hey Sean.
Hey.
So,
I am going to get straight into it. I want to talk about, from the get-go, how I first met you. So, when I first heard about you. So I don't know if you know my story of how I know you, or heard of you. Have I told you it?
Very briefly, but okay. not in depth.
Okay, so it was about, I don't know what year, but...
2013.
Okay, so you'll know the year.
Yeah.
So, so that's about 10 years ago. I was a mobile hairdresser, and I had a client who said to me, really sorry, I need you to come to a different address. So I was like, oh, okay, no worries, blah, blah, blah. And it was literally last minute, and it was somewhere completely different. So off I went, and when I got there, the girl was like, oh, my sister-in-law, have you heard of her? And I was like, no. She was like, and told me, basically, you'd had an accident, and she was looking after the house. And that was that. Whatever. So obviously I did a hair, didn't really ask too much, and then went back home and started Googling, as you do. So I was really intrigued, and I was like, what the hell? So started Googling, went on YouTube. There was stuff on YouTube. I don't know if you...
Yes.
Straight away, or less. So anyway, did that, and that was that. I did go on your Instagram, and I remember, if I think about it now, there was a picture of you outside your house, and I think you was just about to go off to New York.
Yes, that's correct.
So I remember that, but apart from that, I didn't really ever look at, I didn't really think about your name, who you are. I thought about it, but I don't know, stalking wasn't a real big thing back then. Like, you didn't stalk, know you were stalking. I don't know, can't explain it. But anyway, fast forward to when I actually met you. And had you emailed me for an appointment?
Yeah.
So I think, did I have someone else doing my emails then? Or?
Yes, I think you did at that point. And I think that's probably why you didn't click.
I would look at names who was in.
Yeah.
Didn't click.
Yeah, so I obviously emailed you.
For an appointment.
For an appointment, obviously. Needed to get my groove back.
Yeah. And then... You turned up at my door, didn't you? Did you come for a consultation first?
Yeah, I think you wanted to like match hair colour, whatever it is, make sure you have hair, yeah.
I don't really, you have a better memory than me, but I know I can't really hide whatever I'm thinking, so.
I think I remember when you opened the door.
What did I do?
You went, oh, it's you. Oh, and I went, oh, hello, like, obviously I didn't know, but I remember you saying like, oh, and you were like, oh, sorry, no, I've just seen you before, that's all, and I was like, oh, okay.
See, I would have played it a lot more like, I knew you was coming, but yeah, I was completely took off guard. Anyway, that was that, and then I started doing your hair, but I do have the worst memory, but I do know that I used to ask you loads of questions. You was an open book.
Yes.
Feel
always
like
happen.
You're, yeah,
yeah,
that's you.
Yes.
And I remember I've always asked you loads and loads and loads of questions. You always say I can ask you whatever I want.
Yes,
so,
always.
Yeah, we just got on so
yeah,
well,
we did.
From the get-go, didn't we?
Literally from the get-go.
So let's rewind and tell just people that are going to listen to this.
Yes.
Because obviously some would have looked at your Instagram and some obviously are going to be your followers.
Yes.
So... just go back to when, just before you had a trip to New York, where you was with your life and what you was doing.
Okay, so before going to New York, I was a fashion student studying fashion buying with design at De Montfort University. I was also working at Hugo Boss. So pretty much fashion, retail, friends socializing, not long learned how to drive. So I had my first little car. Just kind of... figuring out what I wanted to do.
And fashion.
Fashion
was
a major part. And I feel like, you know, it still is today. But back then I was just crazy about everything to do with fashion. It was just what I wanted to do. Hence why I was studying it at fashion, at university. So yeah, that's just where I thought my life was naturally going to head down. And I was
so what did you think that you was going to, when people you say, what do you want to be? What would you say?
Fashion buyer.
A fashion buyer.
I wanted to be a fashion buyer. So that was my number one goal, what I wanted to do. So it took me a little bit longer to figure out, because I was 23 when I started university. But I just thought, I'm going to take my time, figure it out. And then, yeah, that's what I did.
And then you had a trip with your best friend.
Yes. So 2013, we decided to go to New York. Always a place where I've wanted to go together. And we just wanted, you know, that year we were both in serious relationships. We knew they were just going to get, you know, more serious. So mm-hmm. we thought, now's the time, take the opportunity, you know, while we had it. And we'd go to New York for a holiday.
And that is where life changed pretty quickly.
Yes.
So we're not going to go like fully into it, because mm-hmm. I want to tell people you've yes. got your own documentary, haven't you?
I have.
No, I'm not going to leave it on a cliffhanger though. We're going to go into a little bit more. Yeah, but yeah, of course, obviously, of course. We're not really doing a podcast to talk about it in full depth.
Yeah, of course not. No, I think I've, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the internet where I have already gone so deep into the story, but I can tell you a quick overview.
Yes.
So we were only obviously supposed to be there for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And it was the first morning of our holiday. We decided to just walk around near Rockefeller Center. And like I said, cutting a very, very long story short, I was hit by a taxi whilst walking on the pavement, following on from an argument between a cyclist and a taxi driver. So the cyclist came onto the pavement where my friend and I were walking, and the taxi driver followed him. So he hit the cyclist, then hit me, severing off my left leg below the knee. So that is what happened in terms of limb loss. And then I would spend 6 weeks in New York in a hospital, undergoing 4 different surgeries, staples in my head, numerous cuts and bruises, literally everywhere. So yeah, that is basically what happened back in 2013.
Mm-hmm. And just because the part of the story that you've missed that I thought you would say is where you was going. Where was you going when it happened?
Oh, I was going to Dash, which is the Kardashian store. Well, it was not anymore.
But yeah, so me and Sean have got that in common. Yes. We're obsessed.
Kardashians. We are obsessed. Yes.
So that is the story. I've heard it, and I'm sure some people that are listening have heard mm-hmm. the story. So obviously, absolutely horrific.
Yes.
Life is completely changed.
Yeah.
Instantly. So I did some questions. A question box on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So people can ask us questions because they know a little bit about me.
Yes.
We're completely different.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
I have to be careful what I say on here compared to what we'd normally say in real life. Like... yes. So yes, we're completely different, but then there is slight similarities in terms of I've got a chronic illness, mm-hmm. which is rheumatoid arthritis. Long story short, my immune attacks my joint. So, and I always say, when I've said this in front of Sean, I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't really say that, but I've said it that many times, you do laugh. But when I say, yeah. it can feel like I've been run over by...
I know, and you always say, wait, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. I'm like, no, but how you have to express how you're feeling, that's just how you have how to you try... Have... Yeah.
And you'll be like, well, it's probably not as bad. No, but it's so hard to explain because yeah. my illness is something you can't see it.
Yes, because it's an invisible
And it's
illness.
A bit like you with yes. your leg. Mm-hmm. You wear it that well that yours looks a little bit invisible. Like
Yes, it does, because if I was wearing full trousers or jeans, nobody would
But
tell.
Even when you wear shorts and stuff, I yeah. don't know, you just... The way you pull it off. My mum saw you, but I think you had trousers on. But I remember my mum saw you not that long ago, and she was like, she looks fantastic. You'd never know. And I was really laughing.
And that's the thing. You don't know how many people are walking around with different disabilities that can be visible, but they choose to be invisible.
Yes.
So many.
And I used to block out. So if I was having a flare-up or whatever, so with my illness, you can get chronic fatigue. Your joints just feel like they're smashed to pieces. It's like somebody's got a knife in there stabbing you, punching you. Your hands can swell. You can't move them. You can't pick up a glass, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah.
And you just can't, like, your body just can't even get up. So that's when you're having a major attack.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got diagnosed, so I did see a question actually, so I'll just run with it and say how I got diagnosed. Somebody did ask that. So I'd get a lot of people saying, how was you diagnosed? Because I've got similar, but they can't diagnose it, etc. So I've got something called seropositive rheumatoid arthritis. So seropositive means that it shows in my blood.
Right.
You can have rheumatoid arthritis, but it doesn't show in your blood. So somebody that doesn't show in the blood can take years to get a diagnosis, right. And that is called seronegative. But you'll hear of people that have been poorly for years, can't get a diagnosis, don't know what's wrong with them, and then they'll get told it's something like rheumatoid. So right. In a way, I'm quite grateful that I didn't have that problem, because if I'd have gone for years and then not known, mm-hmm. and it's not showing, and you don't see the best doc, not the best doctors, but somebody maybe that doesn't know, then you could go on forever. So I went to the doctors because I had a pain in my shoulder, which was rotator cuff. I don't know if you know what that is.
No.
So rotator cuff is when you have your arms at a position where you're driving, typing on a computer, basically where the elbow is out and in the air.
Right.
It's very common. You get it from going to the gym. So that was nothing to do with my rheumatoid, but I went for that. And at the end of the appointment, I said, oh, and by the way, I've got this, my finger, it was my index finger. It's a little bit red and it's itching, a little bit swollen. And he said, that could be rheumatoid arthritis. And I was like, okay, didn't really think anything of it. Didn't even really register that he even said that. And then he put me for blood tests. And a week went by. So I had the blood test when mm-hmm. I was there, because they said, have you eaten? I said, no. This is when you could literally get in the doctors. This was, I can't remember. I don't remember things by the year, but I was 25, so I'm nearly 33, so it's 8 years ago. Anyway, so I had the blood test. A week later, I thought, well, I've had nothing, but I'll just give them a ring. So I gave them a ring, and you know, like when you ring the doctors, obviously they don't want to tell you anything, but no. I was like, right, I'm just going to be really, I can always get what I want out of people, feel, when it's things like that. So I was literally like, hi, yes, I just was told to ring, I need to get my blood results, just to let me know, have I got rheumatoid arthritis or not? She was like, well, I can't really, anyway, she told me, she was like, well, the bloods do show positive for rheumatoid arthritis. And I was like, okay. That was that. And she was like, you'll need to get a follow-up appointment. So I got a follow-up appointment. And yeah, I remember coming off the phone. First thing I did was Google rheumatoid arthritis. Now, anyone that Googles it, it comes up with hands, like hands you've never seen before, swollen, curved, like it's, you've seen.
I've seen.
Like, so it came up with that. So I thought, and I was on my own. So I thought, well, I'll have a little cry and then I'll just get on with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, 5 minutes, whatever, got on with it. And then I was telling everyone, I've got rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah. Anyway, went to the doctors. He put me on a medicine called hydroxychloroquine. And I just thought, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
So I didn't take anything for a long, long time. Fast forward 4 years, on and off, I was getting little flare-ups, nothing too much. And then I got pregnant. Now, 80% of people go in remission, and then 20% get worse, something like that.
Right, okay.
So anyway, I got 10 times worse, and that's when the illness really started to hit. And then it was after that as well, like it was really severe with not being able to walk, etc. Do you remember me on my baby shower?
Yes.
Do you remember at the night? But I didn't want to moan to you because I thought, oh no, because, but I'm sure I said, I'm really struggling to walk. But I just thought, she's going to think, oh, well, what about me? Kind of thing. And you'd been doing my whole baby shower helping me. But you probably won't remember because I really did play it down. But I had a bit of a limp. But I took a paracetamol or something, because you can't really take it. You can't take ibuprofen when you're pregnant. But it was mainly at the night time.
Yeah.
That ended, I can't remember. Say it ended at 6, 7 o'clock. By night, I couldn't even walk up the stairs. But I remember thinking, I can't let on to Sian because she's done all this and whatever. So, I literally couldn't, I don't know what I was going to say something then, can't remember.
You said you were pregnant.
Oh yeah, and then after I was pregnant, so it was bad then, getting worse, and then after I was pregnant, it got extreme, like really extreme, and I was on no medicine because you're not allowed to be on any when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Fast forward, I finally went to the doctors, and they said that I'm now a severe rheumatoid case. So now I'm on biologics, so I inject every week, which lowers your immune to keep the flare at bay.
Right, okay.
but you can, there's so much to it, but you can get antibodies, it can stop working. Some people it doesn't work, you have to try lots of different biologics, but that is the grand scheme of it. So yeah. I went on biologics and yeah, it's a miracle drug, but then randomly got really poorly last year and my liver spiked. They had to take me off the meds, and that's when I was really poorly. Everyone would have seen.
Yeah.
But fast forward, I'm now on a new biologic because they had to wait for the liver function to go down, and then I'm a lot better again.
Yeah.
So we are different, but then you can maybe understand a little bit when I...
Of course, yeah, because I think it's the mobility aspect of disability in general, not even just because I have a prosthetic leg and, you know, yours is like a chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the fact that you can't get up and do your day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
That's where any sort of disability you have in common.
Yeah.
Because it is just the fact that you can plan your whole day and the next day it not go to plan.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. It's, yeah.
Exactly that. And I'll always ask you questions like...
Yeah.
For instance, I know when it's really hot, I know you really suffer with your leg.
Yes.
Because of the heat and slipping. And I'm such an empathist, and I really liked... I was a bad trait. Well, it's a good trait, but a bad one, because I take it too far.
Because
I like to actually... Yeah, and I want to feel the pain. I like to make it really real in my head. I can relate to anything. But if I don't sit and ask the questions... It's because I don't want to get... I'll think, no, I'll get too deep. I can't. But obviously, I've known you a long... And I like to ask you. It's a bit different when it's people I know and stuff.
Yeah, of course. But
yeah, I like to ask you questions because I like to compare. Because then I like... You kind of think, okay, so there's people worse off. And I actually know people that are worse... I know that sounds really bad.
No,
you're saying you're worse off because I'm...
No, it's not...
No, is that the right... Is that bad?
No. Not bad. Okay. It's not bad. It's just because it's just different.
It's different.
That's it. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's not, and I would never want, it's just like, you know, sometimes when you always say it to me, no, it's not any worse than you or what you've been through, but you still have to.
I always say that,
you
don't
do
I?
Always
because I don't want to moan to
no,
you.
No, but I know, but I feel like whatever you as an individual is going through and feeling at that mm-hmm. time, your feelings are valid. No
yeah.
matter how worse off or whatever you might think
mm-hmm.
is still valid.
And that's why I was going to say, as the time's gone on and my flares have got worse, I used to like hide it, and not hide it, but I would take the pain, suck up, take loads of tablets and not really tell anyone. But now, I don't care. I'll tell everyone.
Yeah.
Because some days I just think, no, I can't lift that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be vocal.
Yeah, you do. Sorry, I was laughing because I was actually thinking, but then I got better.
Yeah.
From being on my medicine, and then I forget, you're not poorly anymore. So I'll still be like, can you do this? Or, do you know what I mean?
So people are like, what are you
doing?
No,
I'm well now. I can do it. It was for that long. But no, and I just thought of a really funny story. I remember when me and Sean, we went on a walk... It was after lockdown, wasn't it? Do you know what I'm going to say? Because I'm obviously always thinking... So when I'm with Sean, anything we do, I'm always slightly on edge because I think, I need to think ahead, like, if we're crossing a road, is it going to... Like, I think of everything. No, I don't think of everything, but you probably wouldn't know, but my brain's always ticking, a bit like you.
Yeah.
Because I'd never want her to be upset or worried or offended or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So anyway, I remember we was on this walk and we was with Aria... Was we with Wolf?
Wolf was really small.
Okay, so was I pushing Wolf in the pram?
You pushing Wolf in the pram.
Oh, so you do know what I'm going to say. So anyway, we're walking along and it was after lockdown. You was allowed to meet a friend.
Yes.
For a walk.
Yeah.
But you couldn't have contact. You couldn't have contact. Anyway, Sian's little girl kept saying, look, Sian, you was having to carry her literally the whole way. And I'd planned this walk. I was like, it's such a nice walk. There's horses. Anyway, it was like a 2-3 mile walk, something like that. And you're carrying, and I was like, oh my God, this is my fault. We're a mile in. She's still carrying her. And I was like, I've just got to take over. So I literally, I didn't even think. And I just took Aria out of your hands and was like, look, come on, Shana. I was thinking, just don't be impolite. And then anyway, so I had Aria walking along. Then it wasn't until, was it even the next day?
I think it might have been the next day.
And I was like, oh my God. I picked her up. I took her off her, and you're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to have contact with people. You had to keep your distance on your walk.
Yeah, because we were still pretty much distance walking.
Yeah, we were.
But it was just really funny because none of us.
Are you, but was you lying? Did you know?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't, because I was then pushing Wolf. So okay, I was so you like,
oh, I'm sure I told you at the start to push him as well. Do you remember walking down the way? So. Do you want to push him so then you can see what it feels like to have a newborn again?
Yeah.
And so I should have even got you to...
I know, touching the bar.
Whoops. Oh no, people can't come for us anymore. No, we wouldn't have admitted that before.
No, definitely not.
You don't need to take that out, do you? Okay, so that is a little bit about us and how we know each other.
Yes.
So the questions that I got people to do, put them on Sian's phone, just so we could be organised. So we'll go through them. So we wanted to do any questions that can help you be motivated or if you're struggling or anything like that. So shall I just literally go down the list?
Let's do it.
Or do we do the question we have for each other that we've kept a secret? Or do we do that at the end? Do we finish on that? You tell me, you're a professional.
Let's do it at the end.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so first question. Some days where you don't want to get up, if so, what do you do? That's probably my typo, but basically, do you have days where you don't want to get up?
Mm-hmm.
If so, what do you do?
I'd say I used to, like a really long time ago, probably like 5 years ago, to the point where I was just too anxious to leave the house most of the time. But I think, I know it sounds a bit weird, I just forced myself to go for a walk, get outside, get fresh air. It was just something that I knew would instantly make me feel better. Because for me, and like I can only speak on my own experience, but for me being in my house was like torture. Because I'd spent so much time in there not being mobile, I had to get out the house. So whenever I was feeling anxious, sick, even to the point where sometimes I'd have to take my crutches, I'd just have to leave the house. The fresh air for me, walk in, no phones, no nothing, that was the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people always ask me, you know, how did you do it? Like, exactly like this question, on the awful days, I just had to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
But that... like I said, I can only speak on my own experience.
So how long ago was that?
I would say about 5 years ago. It was before I had Aria and I was getting worse.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of people wouldn't know this about me because I wouldn't have ever said.
But that's why I always think with you, Sian is literally someone, she puts on such a front, but I feel like because I'm an empathist, like I know deep down your brain's always ticking as well.
Yeah, and always.
And you aren't somebody that's... You're very open, but then you're... for other people, but when it's your own emotions, I feel
I feel like I was doing that for a really, really long time, and it took me to have Aria to basically is my daughter, by the way.
Oh yeah, she's got a daughter.
Yeah, I've got a daughter, Aria.
Wolf's future wife.
Yes, of course. But it really took me to have her to really just get rid of all the anxiety, leaving the house, everything, because I didn't want to pass them fears on to her or, you know, have anyone notice, I suppose. Yeah. So it's almost like I was putting on a bit of a front, but honestly, it took me years to be able to go to the supermarket on my own.
Really?
Ages. Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah. I always remember sending my mum a text saying, oh my God, I did it. Like, I went to Asda today.
That's so good.
All on my own.
And what was your anxiety about something happening or, okay?
Yeah. So pretty much... I know this sounds so weird. Every single day, I think something's going to happen to me. Every day.
Really?
Yeah. Every day.
Oh, no. So...
And it's not to a point where it would ever stop me leaving the house, but I almost have to leave the house thinking that, not say fully I won't return, but it's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma sticks with people forever, but you have to learn how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But I genuinely think something's going to happen to me every day.
So is that called as well intrusive thoughts?
Intrusive thoughts, PTSD, pretty much, but every day.
So obviously I can't relate to you at all, but I'm obviously part-time hairdresser as well as my other business, and I have a lot of clients, and I do know a lot of people, and as I say, being an empathist, I can sometimes take somebody's story too full on board, where I put myself in their shoes and I think it's going to happen to
me. It's going to happen to you.
Not, I've never had that with you. I've never thought
Yeah.
what's happened to you is going to happen to me. but a lot of other things, and Emmy knows I'm really bad for it.
Yeah.
And things have happened, it could be our friends or whatever, and then sometimes he'll be like, I know you're thinking what's happening to them at the moment, or what's you're thinking, you've gone too far, Steph, you need to pull away now. You can't, you've helped them as much as you can.
But so, what's nice about that is that Emmy giving you, it's like saying that to you. You've got someone telling you, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Because your brain can run away.
He's the opposite to me. Because if someone tells him something sad, he would be like, oh, that's awful. But he would, he can block it off.
Yeah, he can just like block it out. Yeah.
Not even happened.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
So he's quite good because sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So I think you, how you've answered that. Even I've learned something new about you there today. I don't really get days where I don't want to get up. So I don't really have that.
Yeah.
Because I think what you said about Aria, having her.
Yeah.
I think because my illness didn't get as bad until I had Wolf and being pregnant.
Yeah.
He's always been that. I look at him and I think, I'm so glad I've got it and I've not passed it on to you. Because I didn't really know. Well, like, obviously you do know, but I remember, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. But when I had him, he got took off somewhere far down the other end of a hospital and he had to have rheumatoid bloods and other things, whatever. And I was then like, oh my God, I didn't even think like I could pass this on.
You could pass that on, yeah.
And then I felt really guilty. So anyway, in my head, I've always, since he's been here, I look at him and him being happy just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you can relate to that.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah, I've never struggled before that, before being ill. I've never really been someone that's depressed, can't get up, so I can't, so I can't really fully answer that, but you have. So do you ever question, why me, why not somebody else? I often feel like this. I'm currently suffering from alopecia and I've lost all my hair. So have you ever thought, why was it me that day? Or have you ever thought...
I think I've definitely had moments, and I think sometimes I have them moments when I'm having a day where I have to stay off my leg or something like that. But I think because it was such a miracle that I am actually alive, I've always clung on to the fact that it's just that it's actually a miracle. The odds of survival were crazy.
Yeah, but do you know what the odds were?
Well, I know if... Well, I know I haven't mentioned this, but a plumber basically saved my life with his tourniquet.
If you'll see all this on our documentary. Yeah, I'm going to leave all this. Yeah, it's very interesting.
You'll see all the ins and outs of everything.
Someone
but
saved your life.
Because if he hadn't got to me within like 40 to 50 seconds, I'd have been dead. Because I'd lost too much blood at that point. So we're talking the matter of less than a minute. So because I've always had that...
How good of him to think on his feet.
Like yeah, that. So good.
I wouldn't know to do that, Sean. No. But I do know, but I don't...
You don't know how you would basically react in a certain situation. Because none of us would. No. None of us would know. Because that's not a scenario you're going to be put in on an everyday basis.
No, I know. I actually was here in where we are filming now. Well, we're not filming.
Yeah.
Recording, but did I ever tell you the lady that got run over and I was first to the scene? She got crushed.
Oh my God, yes, you did.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, I do remember.
So I was first to the scene.
That wasn't that long ago though, was it?
No, probably about 4 years ago.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. No, I do remember you telling me you were first to the scene, yeah.
Yeah, and so you don't know what you're going to do in those circumstances, but what the guy did, the plumber, he took, so obviously your leg severed, is that the right word?
That's right.
Severed from the get-go,
yes,
straight off, and he put a belt around the top part of your leg, because you lost your leg just below your knee, didn't you?
Just below my knee, yeah. So
he did that to stop the blood.
Yes, that's correct. So I think, because I always like to think, you know, everyone was where they were supposed to be, it's almost like they're saying, like, everything happens for a reason. I don't know what my life would have been like if this hadn't have happened to me. Well, it would have been completely the opposite. But I feel like my outlook, it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Every person I meet, I always think it's for a reason. Any experience, any job, literally anything, I'm like, this is for a reason why I'm doing this and why I'm here and the reason why so many people get in contact with me to just help them mm-hmm. is because I am an open book, and not everybody that goes through these certain situations can be open.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've got, it's, I know it sounds a bit, I feel like it's like a gift. Like no, I do, it is. I do think it's definitely a gift, because I just think to go through everything that I experienced and then come out the other side, be, learn how to live with it, accept it. I think when the acceptance is huge. Mm-hmm. So I know obviously the message, the, is it a girl?
Yeah.
A girl,
yeah, I presume so.
Whoever the person.
9.6% women.
Yeah. Okay. So wherever the person is, obviously losing their hair and things like that, you know, it's rough right now, but it eventually will be okay. But it comes down to acceptance. It's happening to you for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only thing I can believe in.
Yeah. I agree with you there. Yeah. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
People don't like it when you say everything happened for a reason.
I think because it's thrown around too often.
But I do feel like that is a very positive. I look at things like that.
Yeah.
Because I always think about me. I can openly talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And help others. I help a lot of women on my social media that have got autoimmune disease and rheumatoid, and I give advice. Because there is so much you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like with me, I'm sure, like, can you, if you ring the doctors, can you see a specialist for your leg instantly?
No.
Oh, so you can't. So you've not got somebody you go to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like private clinics.
So, yeah, mine, I have to go private. Yeah, if I need someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm having the major flare, I can't ring up the rheumatoid department where my specialist is and expect to call back. No, it's 6 to 8 month wait. So I have to then, well, I know all the tips and tricks and I give it on my Instagram, what I do.
Yeah.
And then when I do go to my specialist, I take gifts for them all because I think I need to be remembered. You need to remember me.
Yeah.
Because when I need drugs.
Yeah, that's it.
You've got to prescribe
you need to
me then.
Get me in within a freaking minute.
Yeah, literally. So, yes, okay. That is that. Moving on to the next question. I like this question. Would you do anything differently on social media if people didn't judge? Should I go first?
Yeah,
you go first. I definitely would be completely different on social media if people didn't judge. Even though I am very open and very real, I'm just extremely...
You are.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny that I go below the belt, maybe. I don't know, but not in a malicious way, but...
No. I think, do you know what it is? I'm like, what is with you? You have to know you.
Yes. It's a bit like your partner.
Oh God, yeah, 100%.
Me and Will are very similar.
Yeah, if you didn't know my husband, you'd think he was the biggest weirdo and the most inappropriate person you've ever met in your life. But you have to know the person on different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's the only thing. Because if you were pointing out whatever, people would be like, that's really offensive, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not. And I think back in the day when I first started social media, I think my following grew quicker. I know obviously Instagram's changed, but you could be more real.
You could. I think, you know, there is a lot these days where, I'm not saying people are too sensitive because they're not. Everyone's feelings are valid. But I think people are scared to post what they kind of want to post. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would be much different.
You're pretty perfect.
I'm not saying I'm perfect.
I think because
I am, and I always say I am an, what you see with me is what you get. Mm-hmm. I am an honest poster mm-hmm. when it comes to, if I'm feeling something in that moment, I will just express it, or I don't know. So I feel like my Instagram is probably a true reflection of myself.
I only give 50%.
Yeah. Me knowing you, I know you give 50%.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
But then I take things to the absolute extreme and I always think, okay, so I feel my life, obviously nothing is perfect. I would say my life is pretty close to perfect that perfect can be. Mm-hmm. Obviously I've got rheumatoid, but you've got to have some bad, haven't you?
Of course.
So I always think if I am fully real on Instagram and show things and whatever, not even being show-offy,
mm-hmm.
I do not want to make someone feel shit about themselves or what they've got. I like them to come to my page, see a bit of realness.
Yeah.
See a little bit of maybe what I'm doing or whatever. Yeah. But I'm not somebody that goes on there because, see, I am a little bit materialistic, but then I don't like to show that.
Yeah.
What things I have.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Do you know what
when
I mean?
You say that, yeah. But then, obviously, on the flip side,
come on, then.
I don't think that people, if you are proud of, say, if you work extremely hard, and yes. I'll give you all the praise because you know I'm literally one of your biggest fans.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, you have done amazing. Like, I've watched you build basically your business from scratch.
Yeah.
Even when you first brought out your own hair extensions, like,
yeah.
I remember it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes you shouldn't ever be afraid to say, I frigging work hard and I deserve that bag and I deserve this. And do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I know, I fully know what you mean, but then there'll be certain things I think, well, I'm not fully materialistic because
yeah.
I've had a car for 10 years, the same car.
Yeah.
So I'm 50-50. Well, one minute I can be materialistic, the next minute I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you post it on social media, it would probably look like...
It looks... Yeah.
I am.
I don't know what you mean. It is a battle between...
Yeah, and I just...
And I feel like that sometimes, you know, if you bought yourself something, it's nice to put it on your... You know, it looks...
It does look nice.
But it's never for any... And I always say this, even in life, don't ever do things for anybody else. You have to do everything for yourself. You have to make yourself happy first. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people can take people's Instagrams and or any social media for that matter and fantasize their life through it, which a lot of people do.
They do.
But at the same time, they need to take responsibility for what they're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, even if you didn't find it, even if my page wasn't giving you what you needed, unfollow me.
Yeah.
You need to take control of your own.
I guess I do secretly be. I feel offended if someone unfollows me, but then on the other flip, I actually don't care.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
But why? What did I do?
Why?
Yeah, literally. And then, so I can be.
Yeah.
I think too much. And when I'm posting, I always empathize with people.
Of course.
Because I get, like you, I'm sure, I get a lot of DMs. And do you know what? Most of them, well, they are. And I don't really ever get a troll or anything.
Mm.
But I think because they like me.
Yeah.
And they send me so much stuff. I feel like I don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get like, the thing that I post the most is probably Wolf now because I think, well, am I showing off even with him? But then it's like, well, I can't, I'm not.
Yeah, no, you're not.
But that would be the only thing I really feel like I do. But I don't even know what the question was. But, social media. Yeah. I'm not going off on a tangent. But so you wouldn't change.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I'd like to be more active. I'd like to be I know, it's... But, you know...
I need when someone filming me.
Yeah, I do. And and to upload on myself. We just need social media managers. There you go.
Anyone else? That's so funny. Okay. I do want to say as well, I actually, when I think about what I've just said, I love following people. Like, for instance, you, fashion. I'm very into fashion, handbags, jewellery... Cars, I love seeing it all, and I like seeing new stuff and how people put stuff with stuff. And I never think, oh god, they're showing. Like, I can think of people off that, obviously, I won't name them, but I can think of influencers that I go to because I like to see what they're wearing or what's new. But then I think, why do I think, okay, if I post what I'm buying or what I've done,
because you don't think they're doing
it,
and I don't, to be honest, I don't either, but I know people do. So
I need to stop overthinking.
You do.
All right then, babe. Next question. What do you do on the low days when you're feeling low?
What do I do? I think, do you know what? I'd like to say something more to do with Aria on this one, but I feel like because maybe a lot of people won't have kids, it's a bit of an easy... You know when some people say... Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do know what you're trying to say. I don't think you can relate until you've had one.
Yeah, I feel like because a lot of my happiness now comes through her.
Yes, I'm exactly the same.
And I don't want people to think, oh, I haven't got a kid, so I don't... You know what I mean?
Okay,
you know what I'm trying to say?
Should we put the children to the side?
Let's put the children to the side. If we didn't have children, what that answer would be. But I think...
I know what mine is.
I'm just quite... I'm quite a simple person when it comes to... I just want to light a nice candle, have a bath.
What we've done tonight.
We've got a really nice candle, by the way.
It's called Grateful.
Yeah. Oh.
That. By Pecksniffs, and it's green. Sean's favourite colour. And it is literally
colour.
Your kind of green,
isn't it? It is. I love it. It's really, really nice. But I just think no tech, no nothing, no things that will make your mind
tick.
But I do like to listen to, I can't think of what it is now. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And me and Will listen to it if we can't sleep or if we're feeling like a bit anxious. And I've always put it on. It's like frequency. It's like the number frequency.
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay. When I think of it, I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. But I love to put it on. And honestly, it just relaxes me straight away. Okay. So I think just it's anything to do that will make me feel relaxed.
Yeah.
But... Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's...
Okay, let's put Wolf and Emmy to the side.
Yes. I know, it's hard.
You left your husband out there.
Not really. Hope's not listening.
Do you think he would?
Yeah, he's our biggest fans.
Okay. I think Emmy would listen to this one, to be honest. He did shock me once when he said that he'd listened to it on his drive. I was like, what? Really?
Huh?
It was a girly one as well. I can't remember, but anyway. Okay, so fresh air. Run or walk, whatever I can do. That is my, I love a nice bath, candles.
Yeah.
Fake tan.
You love a fake tan, of course.
Fake tan can change my life. And washing my hair. Like, just a full
pamper.
That works instantly.
It does,
it does
for me too.
Yeah.
Just like a really nice pamper.
That and some exercise, and I like to exercise with someone, to be honest, because you can have a nice chat.
Yeah,
blah blah blah.
But that's another thing as well.
Okay, if you're low, do you like to be on your own or?
No, I do. I do like to speak to people. I'm not gonna lie. I'd FaceTime my mom.
Yeah, I liked if I'm not in a good mood or whatever. So if I was feeling low or whatever, anxious. My thing would whoever I speak to that day or see him, they know.
Yeah.
Because I think with me, you know, if I'm not me, if I'm my face says it all, or you know something. So, I like to tell people feel a bit better, and then just have a really nice pamper. I like to run, eat healthy. If I ate bad, it'd make me feel worse.
There's a lot of confidence in eating healthier, but you know it. Depends what people actually like to eat.
you can eat whatever you want, can't you?
I mean, not anymore.
Oh,
not gonna lie.
Stop it.
Not gonna lie. Old age is creeping in.
Glad about that. I'm joking. Okay. Do you have anything you want to change in your day-to-day life or work on? Do you have any bad habits?
I'm actually quite a big procrastinator.
Me too.
Yeah. No, and it annoys me.
Yes.
It really does annoy me because I feel like I can set the day right. I'm going to be so productive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Play with Aria, do that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I have self-sabotage and I don't know why.
I think if you set yourself up for like the most perfect day of what you're going to do, 9 times out of 10, if it's too perfectly planned for me, it goes out the window.
Yeah, not going to work.
No. So... Yeah.
But I don't know what to do to stop that because, you know, I'm just, that's what
take
we're...
Take more off our list.
I think that's probably what I should
don't
do.
Don't set, but I get overwhelmed. If I've got so much to do, I can get overwhelmed, I think. So I tend to try not to put too much on the list anyway. I mean, I do a lot. And I mean, if I gave you my list to somebody else's, you'd probably be like, why is there 5,000 things on there? that's not normal. But yeah, if there's less on your list, but then I don't even write lists. It's just in my head. Are you a list writer?
I have to write a list. I have about 1,000 notebooks.
Says you coming here tonight. No, I just want to wing it.
When it comes to stuff like this, it's
she's
fine.
A pro.
But when it comes to work, Aria, you know, house, it's just... It can be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get quite overwhelmed, but I have to physically see it because I can't have it all up here in my brain. It just has to be so I can physically see it. So, yeah. I do like to tick. Like, I find...
You're a ticker as
I
well.
I love a ticker. Like,
so do you like Mrs. Hinch?
I mean...
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, no, I do.
I just know, but she's known for her list, isn't she?
She is. She's known for her list, but obviously for cleaning. But...
You don't clean, do you?
No.
No.
I mean, you know, I get by.
I have a few cleaners.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope we've helped people there. What was the question? Do you have anything you want to change in your day-to-day life or work on? Any bad habits? So we've done the bad habits. No, I'm pretty all right. No,
I am. I'm pretty all right too. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Here we go. How would you describe each other to someone else? I feel like I did kind of describe you, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so.
So I'll round her off. I'm not going to make her head swell too much. I'm just going to give hot points. So if I was to describe Sian, literally, so I don't think before I speak. This is why I can't give my all. I'm not going to think before I speak. Now, so if I was just genuinely saying about Sian, I would say, oh, she's really inspiring. You need to hear about her story, what she's done. She's got a charity. She's got... Sian, what else have you got?
I'm a motivational speaker.
That was it. That was
that. I had that in my head.
She also does TikTok. She's a mother, great mother, and she literally can. You live a normal. Well, I don't know what I don't. Can I say that a normal life?
Yeah, of course.
Because what is normal? But yeah. You know, when we go out and do stuff with Wolf and Aria, apart from actually, no, this isn't true, because I remember we went out not that long ago. Oh my God, it literally made me ill for about a week. Probably not even told you. It's all coming out on the podcast. But I was so upset because I would literally cry about it now, but I'm not going to. I can hold back. Wolf and Aria was running up hills. Do you know what we remember?
Oh, yeah.
And it had been raining, it was slippy, yeah. And then I was running up, so Aria obviously wanted her mummy to run up, because Wolf's mummy was running up, and obviously Sian couldn't, and all I heard in the background was like, no, you run up with Steph, and then I'll wait down here, and then I was like, and I remember telling Emmy about it, and I just thought, oh God, that was probably one of the first times you've not been able to do something that I've done.
Yeah, yeah, when it comes to stuff like that,
yeah,
that my leg can't really handle, but...
You do more or less live, you do everything I do.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing that I would not try, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to doing something for Aria.
Yes.
I would always try my hardest. So,
and I'd just say, finish it on saying you're a very good role model. I like to surround myself with you because you are inspiring.
Thank you
And you're
so
a good person. You get a good energy when you're with, like, I just know when people have good energy. I don't even need to look in your direction and I get good vibes.
Good vibes. Well, thank you.
So anyway, I don't feel like we're not going to do mine now, because I feel embarrassed. I can't do it.
What do you mean? You can't let me sit here and tell you all the praise.
No, because it actually, I can't take.
Okay, I'll text you later.
Okay. No, don't do that. but you've grasped, but I've got you on my show, so, well, not show, but I've got you on here, so it's more about you. There's two more questions. We'll just run them off, because it's quite simple. What do you like to do in your spare time? Do you have hobbies? I'm single, get bored, any advice? Or do you want to be single? That's very hard to answer. We've not really... Okay, so I would... Well, I'm all about health.
I was just going to say that, I mean, the things I do like to do in my spare time is go boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because she's a fighter.
No, I love it. I think it's just, but as well, it's good for a social mm-hmm. environment as well.
Yeah,
anything like that.
I can't do boxing because I've got rheumatoid arthritis in my wrist. So that's something I actually can't do, but I do love it, to be fair. But if I did it, it would really hurt my wrist, to be fair.
So I think maybe, I know,
something
that she can join.
Burn energy. Struggle with, even if it's a walk.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
And quicken up your pace with the walk.
Yeah, but then there's also, like, I'm not saying you have to, but there is walking groups, and there is, like, groups people can join, because sometimes if you're not good at self-motivating, if you're a part of a group or a WhatsApp group in your local area, whatever it is, mm-hmm. they can, you know, encourage you mm-hmm. to get out and do something.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What makes you feel scared or anxious, and how do you overcome it? I feel like we talked about this, but it's good to...
Yeah.
When you feel
what
anxious.
What makes me feel scared? I mean... Well, just the I think
the unexpected.
It is the unexpected. I think, like I said, dealing with the trauma side of what happened to me before, it's just waking up thinking that your day's going to go a certain way and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing, but it's not something that I can ever overcome because I just have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like thinking of a solution to ever, you know, I'm like 9 years on now. And it's got better and I can learn how to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
but I'll never be over it. But that's comes with acceptance.
Yeah. And do you ever feel, because how what you say that,
yeah,
I have these thoughts every single, mm-hmm. not day, but a lot. I do a lot, that something could happen to Wolf. And I feel like that's from social media.
Yeah.
And because you see so much on social media with children and stuff.
It's heartbreaking. And so obviously you'd
never... Do you ever think about Aria?
Yeah, I do. Very, very recently. Last week,
mm-hmm.
there was, I don't know, I bet a lot of people saw it, but that little girl passed away when she was 11 years old and she had cancer.
Yeah.
And
oh, yes.
Yeah. And I remember looking for her photos. And a mum had put one up, like, what to do to go back to this time. And it was her on holiday. And I looked over at Aria and I just was like, oh, God, you just never know what can happen in your life. It's just, I mean, that's life. I get it. It's the unexpected. Mm-hmm. It's to happen. We're not all going to be here forever. But I think it's the circumstances when people, what happens to some people
mm-hmm.
is devastating. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard to get over. But yeah. It is. It's like you said, social media, you see everything, you know, just giving pages. You want to give so much because mm-hmm. you're just trying to help.
Yeah.
Because you know how you would feel in that certain situation. It's awful.
That story, I couldn't even follow because, follow the pages.
Yeah.
But I'd go and check it. Because,
yeah, I would.
But then I think, well, I can't follow because it makes me empathise too much.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
You want to support, but you're like... You,
yeah, and I did. There was a GoFundMe with
yeah.
that, and I did. And
yeah,
I do that a lot. I always do that a lot,
yeah.
And I think, yeah, I can't. I just will keep checking
yeah.
every now and again. But I remember when I one of my friends messaged me and told me.
It's so sad,
and I was like, oh God,
yeah,
really sad. But yeah, I do literally get that. I get anxious about. So if I get the smallest joint pain, I think. Oh my God, is this just a little joint pain? Is this going to develop into something
yeah.
else? Is my body rejecting the medicine that I'm on like previously? So do you ever feel like that with your leg when it's starting to hurt from what you wear it on it?
Yes.
And then so you get anxious.
I get really anxious because I don't know if I'm going to need another surgery. I don't know if it's a day off my leg. I could have a fall and then have to have a surgery. So you just have to be, you know, extra cautious, extra careful, but it's always in the back of your mind. I feel like a lot of people might relate to that if they've got chronic illness or if they've got any sort of disability. It is an ongoing thing. There's not an end to it. It will just always be with us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So if I'm anxious, if I get more anxious mm-hmm. with my illness, it can then bring up a flare.
So you have to almost force yourself to,
So I'll take some tablets,
yeah.
get every single thing, antifreeze spray, bandage,
yeah.
like the lot, whatever I can do. And then I don't exercise, which if it's something like to do with like running or
mm-hmm.
whatever that I can't do.
But I think as well, especially when it comes to anxiety, there's different levels of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, people deal with them really differently. But the best thing, just talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever feel like you're alone.
To people that have got the same as me, because I've asked you that before. And
yeah.
You quite like that.
Yeah,
don't you?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I can talk to anyone. And I wouldn't want people to think that they could never message me because they're not an amputee or got a disability.
Yes.
But I do, because I have phantom pain. So if somebody with obviously an amputation, like, oh, dealing with phantom pain, okay, how do you deal with it? It's a very different conversation. Yeah. But in terms of something where, you know, if something's getting progressively worse,
mm-hmm.
for anyone, just talk. If you, and even if you don't have people around you that you can talk to, honestly, see a counsellor.
Yeah.
When I was going through counselling, it was the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
Mm-hmm. How long did you go for?
Probably about a year and a half.
And are you glad you... Well, I don't know. You stopped now?
Yeah, I stopped because I felt like I just needed to now cope with my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't have to. But, you know, I could still speak to someone. I just think having... You know, if people think they don't have anyone to talk to,
mm-hmm.
just do it. Even if you don't think it's going to help, you'd be surprised how much that can change your life.
Yeah.
I swear by it.
I feel like at work I'm a counsellor. And people always leave my room like, you've changed my life today.
Yeah.
Or they'll come back and they'll be like, I've lost a stone. Or because you had a chat, like, what you can do or whatever.
But I mean, I know you don't want me to say anything about you, but I will say you are amazing at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you don't ever beat around the bush. And, you know, if I really wanted, it's not a bad trait, if I wanted an honest opinion and someone to tell me exactly how a situation is, you would be my first person.
I am very much like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm that honest that I'd have to say, but wait, do you want me to offend you?
Yeah,
or do you want me to go soft?
Yeah, but I think it's an amazing trait that you do have.
Because I think, you know, like, you know when you know, say for instance, let's just make it really casual, but you know, even if it was a selfie.
Yeah.
Or a picture mm-hmm. for Instagram, not even deep, is it? But I take it serious. If someone sends me a picture, should I post it?
Yeah.
I will literally say yes or no because I know what other people will think to that. And I think if I don't tell you the truth of not to post it or post it, then I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
So as much as I'm doing something not nice, if I say no, then I feel worse if I don't.
Yeah.
You get my point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am a very honest. That's why I always say if you're having a breakup or a really rough time, well, a breakup or something, I'm not necessarily the right person to come to unless, say for instance, you wanted to go back to them and you needed some realisation.
Yeah.
Someone to keep you strong, someone to motivate you, then I'm your 100%. Person. But sometimes if you want to cry to someone and have someone be soft, well, I'm not your person.
No.
So that's why you should always, out of your friends, family, surround yourself with a different person depending on the day.
Very, very
how
true.
You feel.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we've got one last thing. There was a lot more questions, but we've just not got time because this is going to finish on 1 hour.
Oh, God.
It's my longest part. I mean, Sean, we do talk for England.
I know
all
we
the
do.
Time.
I know.
Is it me or?
No,
it's
just us.
Okay. Okay. One question for each other. So you can ask anything. You ask me first. Have you got your question? Because I didn't give a homework.
Yeah, because kind of. I've not written it down. I was just kind of going to wing the question.
Because I'll ask yours and then I'll get embarrassed and shy and be like, no, don't ask
No, you. But I'm very, very aware that we've not got very long. Okay. So what I was going to ask you, obviously you went through with your illness, like a really bad time last year.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment where you really couldn't do a lot, or especially being a mum in that certain situation, how did that honestly make you feel?
Okay, I'll just reel off.
Yeah.
I won't think about it, but I felt lonely, sad. I don't like thinking about it. Lonely, sad. Is this ever going to end? Because it literally went on for 9 months. I just want to be normal. Why can't I be normal? And then I'd reel it in and think, it's okay, Wolf's not got it. So then that would make me be like, right, come on. There is a phrase I use, but I can't think of it. When I think about something too much, I can't think about it. But there's a phrase that I always revert back to. I can't remember, but it's something about, does it last forever or something?
Yeah.
I mean, do you get that?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Okay, yeah. That's,
it will pass.
Yeah, it will pass. Yeah.
It will pass. Whether it's 9 months, a year, it will pass.
Yeah.
You've got to just fight through it. So, yes.
Okay.
Right, my question for you, I've asked you this before. I've not even written it down. I don't know why I'm looking. I think you'll be all right with me asking it. She was when I asked you before. So if you was to go back in time,
mm-hmm.
would you have what happened to you happen, or would you say, no, I want to go back to my old life? So would you have this life or your old life?
I would have this life. Definitely have this life. Like I said before, outlook is completely different, and I don't think I would change it for anything.
Love that. I remember when I first asked you, you didn't answer it that quick, but I feel like, did you know I was going to ask you that?
No, question? I actually didn't. No, I didn't know anything.
Was you scared what I was going to
ask? No.
I don't scare you then.
No, you don't.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I've wanted to do it for so long.
I know. Thanks for having me. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much. You're amazing. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next podcast.